This is Law Bites, a podcast with Michael Geist.
A Brazilian Supreme Court judge has ordered the immediate suspension of the social media platform X in Brazil, meaning people there can no longer access or use it. X owner Elon Musk failed to meet a deadline set by the court to name a new legal representative in the country. The Brazilian court and Musk have been at odds for months, fighting over free speech and for X allowing far-right accounts and misinformation on the platform. The Supreme Court says it won't bring back the platform until Musk complies with his orders and pays millions of dollars in fines. Musk was quick to react to this news, posting on the platform overnight, attacking the judge that issued the suspension.
After a bit of a break over the summer, the Law Bites podcast is back. There is a lot happening, but I start this week with a high-profile case coming out of Brazil, where Twitter, or X, has been under a blocking order for the past few weeks. Not only is the service blocked in the country, but individuals face significant fines if they try to circumvent the order to access the service by using a VPN. The case raises many questions about enforcing domestic laws, political power, tech power, and notably the impact of these cases on individual rights and freedoms. Carlos Afonso Souza is a law professor at the State University of Rio de Janeiro and PUC Rio, where he specializes in law and technology. He's also the co-founder and director of ITS Rio, the Institute for Technology and Society of Rio de Janeiro. He joins me on the podcast to discuss the Twitter or X case and its implications. Carlos, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Michael. It's so good to be here. It's so good to talk to you about this controversial case in Brazil.
Yes. No, thanks so much for joining. And yes, it is extremely controversial. Feels almost like a bit of a Netflix type movie with a battle between a Supreme Court judge on the one hand, a tech baron on the other, complete with threats of blocked apps, jailed employees, and even penalties for users that use VPNs, virtual private networks, to access the banned app. We're talking, of course, about X or Twitter in Brazil right now, Supreme Court Justice Moraes and Elon Musk. And perhaps it might be best to start off with where are things right now and then and work back a little bit to understand how Brazil got here and the some of the legal issues that arise. So, you know, when I post about this podcast on Twitter or on X, are you going to be able to see it in Brazil? What's the status of the service right now?
So when you post about this podcast on X, if I want to see it, I'll have to resort to VPN, which is something that I might think cautiously if I want to do it, because right now we have this decision from our Supreme Court that sanctions people with a fine. It's a heavy fine, actually. If you access Twitter using VPNs, which is something that definitely we'll discuss for later on. But I think it's important to mention how the situation stands right now in Brazil. So right now, X is blocked in Brazil by a judicial order that was issued by this one Supreme Court justice called Alexandre de Moraes. This decision was confirmed by a group of justices in the Supreme Court. And, well, I think it's important to mention Twitter, or X, used to be quite popular in Brazil. We're talking about, like, the number may vary from report to report, but it's something around like 22 million users. And Twitter used to be a very active social media in Brazil. It's not the huge market that you have in the US, but I think especially for news and for live coverage of events, X was certainly the place to go when we look into social media in the Brazilian landscape. So right now, users are blocked from using X in Brazil, and they are flocking to other alternatives. Some of them are going to Blue Sky, some of them are going to Threads. And it's very interesting to see how different communities are going to different social media companies. So I think all the memes and the humor and the, I would say, very grassroots communities of Axe in Brazil are now in Blue Sky. And the media coverage are all in the Meta's threads. But let's see how this thing is going to play out. But this is just to give you a little bit of a taste how the things are moving forward here on the ground.
Okay, interesting to hear that people are shifting to different services. We, of course, saw a lot of people talk about shifting to some of those same kinds of services just out of frustration with what's happened on Twitter or X in over the last year or two. Interesting to see they're, in a sense, forced to move if the service itself is wholly unavailable. I want to ask you, how did we get here? Starting, I suppose, with Supreme Court Justice Moraes that you just mentioned. You know, how does he find himself in this battle with big tech?
So I think it's important to understand that Brazil is right now in a very peculiar state for us to look on a lot of issues concerning the impacts of emerging technologies and social media, to think about how local authorities might end up getting themselves involved in a techlash view of things. But at the same time, I think it's important to mention that Brazil went through its own storming of the Capitol building. So we had our January 8th, the day in which people back in 2023 stormed public buildings in Brasilia, trying to come up with a coup attempt that was not successful. And right out of the gates, people end up looking to how social media, and especially here, I think Telegram end up being on the spotlight at this time, how technologies end up serving as a way for people to mobilize, to organize, and to spread all sorts of information that end up leading to this uneventful situation in Brasilia. So Justice Moraes end up being the one who was spearheading an investigation in the Supreme Court into how people end up getting to social media, and especially congressmen and women posting messages that end up leading to the organization and the motivations for those types of attacks. And some of the decisions by Justice Moraes relating to this type of content, they were not targeting the content itself, but the blocking of the entire social media account of those political actors and other people who were targeting the judiciary and coming up with false claims about electoral integrity in Brazil. So there is this whole debate about anti-democratic discourse in Brazil. And Justice Moraes served as the one who ended up fighting this type of content online through judicial orders, ordering the blocking of an entire social media accounts. And then X decided to fight back, saying that those orders were unconstitutional. And that came to a point in which Elon Musk himself end up tweeting that he was not going to comply with those orders because they didn't recognize the legality, the constitutionality of those orders. So that ended up leading us to this tug of war between those two men. So Justice Moraes on one side and Elon Musk on the other side.
Okay. So just want to unpack that just a little bit. First, to understand, so Justice Moraes is involved in examining how social media may have this harmful effect on political discourse or on society more broadly, is focused on trying to address what I assume are viewed as bad actors in that context. And Brazil, of course, has some experience with that, as you mentioned. Is this just about Twitter or X, or this is broader?
It's way broader than X, actually. X is the one that is now on the spotlight because of the actions of Elon Musk. And, as I look into all those things, I believe that Musk ended up serving as a political actor here because the situation ended up being very advantageous to this type of a move from Elon Musk, because Brazil was clearly going through this political struggle, and Justice Moraes was indicated by then the president of the Supreme Court to be the one leading the investigation into attacks on the judiciary. And I think it's important to mention, Brazil has a very unique electoral system in which you have a superior electoral court that end up handling the procedures of the elections. So the judiciary, when we come to elections, it's not only the entity that is going to decide the cases concerning speech, concerning publicity and messages with electoral content, but it's the one who is organizing the elections itself. So Justice Moraes, in our last presidential election, was the president of the Superior Electoral Court. So Justice Moraes ended up pairing those two functions. He was the president of the Electoral Court in a very challenging election. And at the same time, in the Supreme Court, he was the one who was indicated to run those investigations and procedures concerning anti-democratic acts, attacks on the judiciary. So that ended up putting him in the spotlight, and he ended up stepping into this role big time.
At this moment, really only, of course, hearing about what's taking place with X and the blocking order that I want to get to in just a moment. Is the reason for that that other companies, where they're faced with similar kinds of orders or demands to stop accounts or to take certain action, they're simply complying? And what has put X in the middle of all of this is that that company, Elon Musk, has refused to do so?
Yes, like several other internet companies have been served with the very same type of judicial decisions that X is fighting back. And I think it's important to mention that back in 2023, Telegram was the one who used to be on the spotlight because Telegram was failing to simply communicate with the local authorities in Brazil. And that came a point in which Justice Moraes issued a blocking order to Telegram in Brazil, saying if you guys don't simply show up, Telegram's going to be blocked in Brazil. And I think it's important to mention, with a block order that is strikingly similar to the one we're seeing right now with X. But then Telegram decided to show up with a very interesting explanation, saying that all the messages that the local authorities in Brazil were sending to Telegram, they were falling to the wrong communication channels. So that's why they were failing to reply and to communicate with the Brazilian justice system. But this is just to mention that other companies are also receiving these type of orders. And as far as we understand, they are complying, and X was the one who ended up going public with those orders. And I think it's important to mention the second element, which is a lot of those decisions are under seal. So when X come out in public about those decisions, they are like revealing information that the judiciary power in Brazil decided to put under seal. But then again, this will take us to a different path in this conversation, but just to mention that this is something that is connected to a whole bunch of other companies, and X is being the one who is in the spotlight right now.
Okay, that's helpful context. You mentioned that part of the issue is showing up with Telegram showing up. My understanding is that that's part of the issue here as well, in terms of country representative and the like. Can you explain a little bit how that plays out? It's this issue. I believe starts with the refusal to abide by orders, let's say, to remove certain accounts or block certain content, but has now morphed a little bit into the question as to whether or not there is a local representative within Brazil for X. Can you explain a little bit how that functions?
Yeah, so right in the beginning of 2024, there was this back and forth messages by Elon Musk on X saying that the company was not willing to comply with judicial orders that requested the banning of entire social media accounts. And this ended up escalating to a moment in which Elon Musk himself was being investigated by the Supreme Court in Brazil as a political actor and an important part of this whole discussion about electoral integrity, the political landscape in Brazil. And that ended up leading X to reduce the number of employees in Brazil in the first place. I don't think this is unique to Brazil, as we have been seeing right after Elon Musk ended up buying Twitter, that we saw big layoffs in different countries. But Brazil was no stranger to this conversation. But the situation ended up scaling up when Elon Musk decided to close business in Brazil, to close X offices in Brazil, to end up dismissing all the employees in Brazil. So right now, when Elon Musk decided to do this, X ended up becoming a company with no legal representation in Brazil. And under Brazilian law, foreign companies acting in Brazil, they need to indicate at least a legal representative to be served with judicial decisions and subpoenas and so on. So right now, Twitter, or X, sorry, failed to have this legal representative in Brazil. But the situation of X in Brazil, it's, I would say, it's not regular, because Elon Musk decided to fire all the employees, but the office is still here, and the legal entity still exists in Brazil. And, well, and I think it's important to mention, when the Brazilian laws say that you need to have a legal representative in Brazil, of course, when you browse through App Store in Brazil, a good chunk of those apps that are being like available to download in Brazil, those companies, they do not have a legal representative in Brazil. So I think we have this situation that the law says one thing, and in practice, well, we know that internet is this trans-border global communications infrastructure, that's not how things are going to play out on a very practical level. But the case of X is different, because X used to be here, used to have a large office with a huge number of employees, and by the end of the day, it's scaling back and coming to this situation on purpose, because, of course, out of fear that some of the legal representatives might be condemned, or might be even like serving like jail time because of not complying with the judicial order. So that's the excuse that Musk is using to say that they are pulling the plug of X in Brazil. And it's out of this interpretation of the Brazilian law. Like, you need to have a legal representative. Right now, X does not have one.
Okay, that's interesting. Now that actually is really helpful to lead us into the issue of this particular blocking order, and then more broadly about blocking orders in Brazil, because as you've mentioned, where it extends even to the point not just of the apps themselves, but even of the potential for jail time for some of the employees, which it sounds like precipitates this decision to essentially fire all the employees so that there's no one there that can be held accountable in that way. Why don't we start first with a history of blocking orders in Brazil? This has been a contentious issue in many countries, certainly here in Canada. The question of website blocking has been very controversial, and there's been a lot of reluctance for courts to order blocked websites for freedom of expression reasons, overblocking, privacy reasons. There's been a lot of fears about moving in that direction. What's the history and the law look like in Brazil when it comes to these kinds of blocking orders?
I think it's important to mention that like Brazil has a long-standing history of judicial decisions ordering the blocking of sites and apps. If we go back to 2006, there was this viral video of a top model, a Brazilian top model, in a intimate scene that went viral on YouTube. And back then, a court in São Paulo ordered YouTube to be blocked in the country because the website was failing to remove this type of content. And that was very interesting because this decision was our very first decision about blocking an entire website because one infringing content. And like on a couple of days, I think, the judge realized that once he decided to strike down YouTube in Brazil, he was striking down the Supreme Court of Brazil from YouTube as well, because different from what you have in the US, for instance, in Brazil, the decisions of the Supreme Court, the judgments, there are broadcasted live from YouTube. So the judge decided that, well, this was not proportional. If you want to face this one infringing content, to strike down a whole platform was not ideal. And then we had, back in 2015, 2016, the blockings of WhatsApp in Brazil. And we had like three decisions that ended up ordering WhatsApp to serve the content of some messages concerning to some drug dealing suspects. And those three decisions were revoked by the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court decided that it was important to take a step back to see how all the decisions on this matter were failing to address a technical impossibility of WhatsApp to deliver the content of the messages due to end-to-end encryption of the messages there. And I think it's important to mention those decisions on blocking of WhatsApp end up leading to two lawsuits that have been brought to the Supreme Court about the legality of blocking apps and websites in Brazil. And those two cases are still pending decision at the Supreme Court. So it's interesting that right now we're discussing the issue of blocking apps in Brazil, and the Supreme Court itself has two very important cases concerning the blocking of apps on general terms. There are still pending decision in the Supreme Court. And I think it's important to mention in this case that the judgment of those two cases, it actually started back then. But then Justice Moraes himself was the one that decided to stop the judgments of those two cases because he wanted to have an extra time to go through the case. So this is something that might happen in Brazil. A judgment can start, and in the plenary, one justice can request an extra time to delve a little bit deeper on the arguments. So Justice Moraes was the one that ended up hitting pause on the judgment of the cases of blocking apps in Brazil to begin with. And we had, back in 2023, the whole discussion about blocking of Telegram that we have just mentioned, with Justice Moraes threatening Telegram with a blocking order that ended up not being applied because Telegram complied with the Brazilian local authorities. So that is a brief history of the discussion about blocking apps in Brazil. And I think it's important to mention because I think the blocking of apps is an entire new thing that we're facing right now in Brazil. Because the blocking of YouTube back then, it was some sort of misunderstanding at the time. The blocking of WhatsApp was due to technical elements of the case that I feel like the judges ended up getting it wrong back then. Telegram was a company that was not even responding to local authorities. So we never had anything like this, in which an internet company is like coming out to the public, saying not complying with the judicial order, and sometimes like challenging the constitutionality of judicial orders. So that ended up leading us to, I think, a new path on how we move forward in this situation.
Okay. I mean that history's interesting. It suggests that it's that the issues are a little more uncertain than one might be led to believe. I mean, there is a history behind it for sure, but if you're telling me that there are cases that are still pending before the court and that the person issuing the orders is involved in those cases and asking for more time, it's I think some might look at that and say, hey, that raises some real questions about what's taking place with this order. We can get into that, but first, why don't you explain precisely what makes this order so unusual when compared with what we've seen from some of the other orders?
Yeah, sure thing. So I think it's important to mention that Brazil has this law called the Brazilian Internet Bill of Rights. It's a law, there was a federal law that was enacted in 2014 that addresses issues such as privacy, data protection, net neutrality, intermediary liabilities. So this is a law that was built out of a public consultation in the internet. That was the first time the Brazilian government ended up using the internet for a public consultation. And there is this wording on Article 12 of the Brazilian Internet Bill of Rights that mentions that if a company fails to comply with the local laws in Brazil concerning the processing of personal data, a local authority can order the suspension of this type of activity. So, a local authority can order the suspension of the processing of personal data and communications. So, that's the language that you have in the law. And I can say, as someone who has been pretty much close into the crafting of this law, this was a provision that pretty much focused on data protection, on the processing of personal data. But courts in Brazil have interpreted this type of provision in a broad sense. So, thinking about suspension, not only about the processing of personal data, but suspension of the whole app, of the whole website. So, that's the interpretation that is the conflicts that end up leading the Supreme Court to hear those two cases that I have just mentioned. So, this whole discussion about how to interpret, how to read and apply and enforce Article 12 of the Brazilian Internet Bill of Rights is still up to the Supreme Court to decide. And well, once we don't have the decision from the Supreme Court, we still have those blocking orders that rely on this provision of the Brazilian Internet Bill of Rights. And Justice Moraes is the one who is relying on this provision as well. There was this very interesting situation in which the Supreme Court ended up posting on X a subpoena of some sort, saying that Elon Musk should indicate a legal representative in Brazil. If not, there will be a blocking order coming along that ended up happening to come along right after. And in this subpoena, there is this mentioning of Article 12 of the Brazilian Internet Bill of Rights. But then moving from the legal grounds to the blocking order itself, blocking orders of Justice Moraes, they have usually three sections, I would say. So, the first one is the actual blocking of the app or the website, commanding the telecommunications authority in Brazil to notify all operators to block this application or website in Brazil. That is the first part. The second one is ordering Google and Apple to remove the app from Play Store or the App Store so that Brazilian users would not be able to download the app. And I think it's important to mention that this particular blocking order mentioned in the first place the banning of VPNs from the app stores. And that was really extreme. And I would say pretty much worrisome, because to ban VPNs from app stores in Brazil is simply failing to understand how VPN can provide you with a more private and security way to browse through the web. And I think that that was something that ended up leading us to really like cybersecurity concerns about this type of decision, because once you prohibit Brazilian users from downloading and using VPNs in Brazil, I think that's a really far stretch from the discussion that we were having about acts complying or not with the judicial order. And I think it's important to mention that this specific part of the decision, Justice Moraes end up rewriting and publishing a second version of the decision without the banning of VPNs in Brazilian app stores. But there is a third section of the blocking order that also relates to VPNs. And that's a part of the order that prohibits Brazilian users from using VPNs or any other technological measure to access acts in Brazil. If they end up doing this, they could be fined with a sanction of 50,000 reais per day, which I would say like it's almost like $10,000 per day if you use VPN to access acts in Brazil. So that's why, Michael, when you asked me if I was going to read, like, and comment your tweet about this podcast on X, I think I need to check my wallet if I will be able to do that anytime soon.
Yeah, no, it'll be a good episode, but I'm not sure it's worth that kind of risk for sure. I mean, that I must admit that aspect of the ruling sounds pretty astonishing. Is there any precedent in Brazil for that kind of order?
No, not a precedent on this along those lines. And I think it's really complicated, because that ended up showing that on the mind of Justice Moraes, VPN is just this technological tool that you use to pretend that you are on this country that you're not. So you use it to curb some internet filters or things like that that might be seen as illegal by some people. So it's failing to comply how VPN is a measure of protection, of it's a measure of cybersecurity by the end of the day. So we did had actually this type of prohibition in the Telegram blocking order, but since Telegram ended up complying, so this whole sanction concerning VPN was never applied in Brazil. The Federal Council of the Brazilian Bar Association filed a petition asking for clarification or revision of this part concerning the usage of VPNs. And even in the judgments in the Supreme Court, there was this one justice, Justice Fuchs, that even though he ended up agreeing with Justice Moraes with the whole blocking of acts, he came up with a very interesting wording saying that on his view, this type of sanctioning using VPNs could only be applicable to people that end up using VPNs to publish on X things that end up being illegal or like attacking electoral integrity, attacking the judiciary or things like that. This could not be a broad sanctioning that would fall on people who are not even being investigated in this lawsuit in the first place. So that's the type of pushback that we're seeing right now. We hope that this at least this part of the decision got reverted in the plenary of the Supreme Court. Some political parties already filed lawsuits challenging the blocking order itself and the VPN provisions as well. And just to be clear, the Supreme Court in Brazil is not like the Supreme Court in the US. There is no writ of certiorari that might end up leading you to analyze like 200, maybe less than that, cases per year. The Supreme Court in Brazil needs to analyze all cases that end up achieving this degree of constitutionality challenges. So we have now on the table to be decided those cases that have been brought up by political parties challenging the blocking order of Justice Moraes. So we can expect that this discussion is still going to have like a follow-up episode in the Brazilian Supreme Court like anytime soon.
Okay, I want to understand that next episode a little bit better. First off, what checks and balances are there for the order in the first place? So, Moraes puts forward this order that's as broad as it is. Is that reviewed by anyone before? Does he have to get approval for it, or is he simply empowered to issue that kind of order? And then, if people disagree with it, and you've obviously indicated there are any number of parties that do, they're free to then, I suppose, file appeals with the full Supreme Court. Is that how the process works? Perhaps you can explain.
Yeah, so a single judge can issue a decision as striking as this one, especially because I think important to highlight that under Brazilian civil procedure, you have something called poder de cautela. It's a power that every single judge has to come up with means to get people to comply with the judicial order. And of course, the usage of this power needs to be balanced. But you can portray the blocking of an app as a way of exercising this power. So if you're not complying with my order, I threaten you with sanctions. If fines and sanctions are not enough, you might be blocked in the country. So this is something that we see. Well, not only in internet law, but in the applying the enforcement of the Brazilian civil procedure code, well, in different cases. But once a decision like this is issued, this well need to be reviewed by a larger group in the Supreme Court. So what Justice Moraes ended up doing was sending his decision, sending the blocking order to the first chamber of the Brazilian Supreme Court. So now you not only have Justice Moraes, but you have four order justices that analyze this case and end up agreeing with Justice Moraes with the blocking order on general terms. There was some disagreements in the wording of those decisions, but by the end of the day, they all came unanimously with, well, agreeing with Justice Moraes in this case. But then you had some other petitions that were filed by political parties, and those petitions end up being distributed to other Supreme Court justices. And especially this one lawsuit got, because it's important to mention, like when you file a lawsuit in the Supreme Court directly, because you're trying to analyze or challenge a decision of the Supreme Court, you have this random system that can get the judge or the justice to decide. There might be a different one. So we now have Justice Nunes Marques, who is going to be the lead author of this other decision on a case that challenges the blocking order of Justice Moraes. And Justice Nunes Marques was appointed by the former president, Jair Bolsonaro. So this ended up leading to a lot of political commentary saying how Justice Nunes Marques might react to that. And Justice Marques has just mentioned that he is not going to decide this alone, so he's going to send it to the whole plenary of the Supreme Court. So what we can expect for the next episode of this case is a whole decision from the plenary of the Supreme Court. That means 11 justices that are going to analyze this case. So I think that's the natural next step that we're going to see in this case.
Do we have any sense that Twitter or X may itself try to find a way to find some kind of compromise or some way out of this? Because on the one hand, I think what you've described is both some very real issues that need to be addressed. I think you can make a strong case that some of the proposed solutions here go too far, and then they're particularly on the VPNs and the sort of individual use. And now, of course, you've described sort of a fairly robust court system that will be reviewing that. Is there, along the lines of what you described with Telegram, is there a possibility, do you think, that Twitter will find some sort of mechanism or look for some sort of mechanism to find a compromise?
So Michael, this is a very tricky question because I think there is a legal, I would say, point of view that we can go through it. But there's a lot of political and economic elements that end up playing a role in this conversation. One thing that we end up not mentioning in this conversation is that the blocking order of Justice Moraes, it's like a 60 plus page decision. The decision creates a narrative in which Elon Musk is this political actor that is using X as a way to challenge the Supreme Court in Brazil. But X is not the only company that Elon Musk has in this whole conversation. So Starlink, it's, well, a remarkable point of access to the internet, especially to the Amazon region in Brazil. So Starlink is growing larger and larger in Brazil, especially in remote areas in which there is no proper internet connectivity provided by Brazilian companies. So in the beginning of this whole discussion, Starlink has informally said that it would not comply with the judicial order of blocking X in Brazil. So that ended up bringing Starlink into the whole conversation. We pretty much are focusing on X, but when Starlink comes along saying we're not complying with the blocking of X in Brazil, well, that ends up getting things more complicated, and by the end of the day, end up strengthening one of the points that Justice Moraes described in his decision, that there is this economic group that is, well, X is one part, Starlink is the other. So in order to comply with the judicial decisions, Justice Moraes ordered the blocking of resources of Starlink in Brazil. And there was a lot of controversy when people saying, hey, you can claim that Starlink and X are part of the same economic group, but to block the assets of Starlink in Brazil because of something the X is doing, well, might be a far stretch as well. But I'm only mentioning Starlink because you asked me about if there might be some compromise in the future. So Starlink decided to take it back and decided to comply with the judicial order. So there was already some sort of compromise by one of the companies of the group. But Elon Musk himself is still pretty much on the charge. He created this Alexandre Files, an account on X to publish all the judicial decisions of Justice Moraes and to criticize justice and what ICE. So I think we're going to see this discussion moving forward. And when we think about what might happen in the future, like my take is, we're now seeing something that is pretty much unique. Like we never had the owner of a social media turning to so bluntly as a political actor and discussing and getting himself into the conversations about the politics on the national level in different countries. So we never had anything like this. And once you have this, and once you have Elon Musk, especially with Starlink, being a key factor in getting huge chunks of countries, especially the global south, connected to the internet, like this guy ends up having an upper hand in political terms. That is something that we definitely might pay attention to, because Elon can choose his political allies and his political adversaries, opponents on the national level. And this ends up turning X into, well, a political infrastructure in different countries. So Brazil reacted on strong terms. So Brazil reacted through a blocking order that I think we could and we should look into the proportionality of this measure, if that was the right track. But when we look back, I think in a couple of years, we're going to see Brazil as the first country that ended up reacting to this new scenario in which the owner of social media can turn into a political actor. And well, we might say the whole conversation about banning TikTok in the US is a whole political conversation about how social media end up getting tangled with geopolitics throughout the world. But I think Brazil offers this new case for us to examine and for us to see how this whole conversation about blocking apps can really turn into a political discussion. And I really hope that we come to a situation in which this blocking order, I would say, got reversed or at least reviewed in some of the language, especially concerned VPN, which I think it's pretty extreme. So, but I think Brazil ended up serving as this example. When we look back in a couple of years, I think we're going to see that, well, I don't expect countries to block X entirely, as Brazil has done. But I think that if Elon ends up serving as this political actor, we're going to see new sanctions issued towards X, like sooner than later. So I think that's what we can expect for the near future.
Okay. You know, it's just a fascinating case that, as you suggest, mixes politics, tech, power, and of course, internet and some of the freedoms that come with that as well. So it's something for that sure. I think the whole world will be watching. And thank you so much for joining me on the podcast to help explain it.
Thank you, Michael. It was a pleasure to join you on the podcast.
That's the Law Bites podcast for this week. If you have comments, suggestions, or other feedback, write to lawbites@pobox.com. Follow the podcast on Twitter @lawbitespod or Michael Geist @mgeist. You can download the latest episodes from my website at michaelgeist.ca or subscribe via RSS at Apple Podcast, Google, or Spotify. The Law Bites podcast is produced by Gerardo LeBron LeBoy. Music by the LeBoy brothers, Gerardo and Jose LeBron LeBoy. Credit information for the clips featured in this podcast can be found in the show notes for this episode at michaelgeist.ca. I'm Michael Geist. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.